Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, family of Soul in the City. So glad you could come and spend the Saturday afternoon with us. Again, I have our pastors, and I'm saying they're the pastors of Soul in the City also. There are resources in our pastors, and they are here today, and we're going to be talking about obeying God. I will have the chat line open, so if you want to chat or ask some questions, please feel free to do that. The guest call-in number is 760-695-1120. And if you're on the internet and you want to just kind of get in, which most of you are in, I see that I have quite a bit of listeners even right now. Again, that's http://2obtr.com/s/249-4087. And I welcome all that are here. Be blessed. We're going to have a really informative and anointed time in the Lord. I'm just going to start by playing a little bit of Nicole Mullins, I Know My Redeemer Lives, just for a few minutes. Let's think on that. Nicole Mullins, I know, and I'm here to testify that our Redeemer most certainly lives. I am going to turn it over to the pastors now. Welcome, Pastor Mark and Patricia, to Soul in the City, and welcome to, we have quite a few listeners, so they really want to hear your anointed message, Pastor Mark and Patricia.
Well, hello.
Hello.
We're glad to be with you today, get excited when we know we're going to have this opportunity to be with our sister today to share with all of you that are listening. And we just want to quickly open up with prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. Father, we give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you honor for what you're going to say here today, for the revelation, the knowledge, and the wisdom that's going to come forth today. And we thank you again, Father. We thank you for clear communication in the airwaves, and Father, we just thank you that you're so good and you're so kind. And you're definitely most loving. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Well, today, we wanted to talk to everyone about obeying God, obeying the Father. And I believe the last time that we were together, we were talking about hearing from God and how to hear. So I thought to myself, I said, okay, Lord, well, what do we do after we hear? And that sounds maybe like, well, we know what to do, but do we really know what to do? So I wanted to start off by just giving you a definition of the word obey. It means to follow the command or guidance of. To follow the commands or guidance of. So what that made me think about is that when we're now hearing from our Father God, and his Holy Spirit is to guide us, and whatever he tells us to do, we want to go ahead and do it. And so my definition was this. It was allegiance to, loyal, committed to follow instructions to the fullest extent, to adhere, a way of responding from the heart and not the head. And then the last thing that came to me was to trust. To trust. And so when you think about that, as far as with our Father, when we're obeying him, we have to trust him. We know how to hear. We're learning how to hear. That's a daily thing, by the way. I'm not saying we've all arrived. We're learning how to hear from our Father. But then as you hear and as you begin to obey, you trust him. And it's an allegiance. And you want to follow his commands and his instructions as much as you can to the fullest extent. And you want to do it from the heart. And believe me, in obeying and hearing and obeying from God, anything that you do, it'll have to be from the heart, because your head will always try to convince you, number one, that you're not hearing, and your head will also try to tell you or give you reasons why you shouldn't obey. So the thing of it is here, I noticed that in the church world today, as we know it, there is still this stigma, out there as far as what people are saying about God, Jehovah. And even in some in the body of Christ, the born-again believers, they have this idea, again, that God is so far away. And he's just sitting there on the throne waiting for me to make a mistake at any time, at any place. They haven't even come to the reality that he is our Father. So with that in mind, you know, I feel like if people say it's too hard to obey God, it's too hard, you know, or he requires so much, or who can please God? Well, one way, I didn't say the only way, but one way that we can please the Father is through obedience. And sometimes I think that we have made things harder than they really are. Man or religion has said, there is no way you can please God. Well, what do you think God wants with you? Oh, he could snap your neck in a minute. Well, now let me think about this. He is my Father, but he's going to snap my neck in a minute. I don't quite get that. I mean, any of you out there that are parents, I don't see you having children and saying, you know, I'm going to snap your neck in a minute. Y'all know what I mean, right? Okay, then. Don't be called in talking about the point is, you would not, any person in their right mind would not want to hurt or harm their children. So this is what I'm speaking of. So Father God is not sitting up there saying, Patricia, I'm just waiting for you to make a mistake, so I can just take you out of here or do this or that. That is not our Father God. So in pleasing him, in obeying him, it goes hand in hand. Again, we've made things so hard and so difficult. We make it hard. Can I share something here? God is not hard. Our Father is not hard. We have made it hard. Because if people really understood even the simplicity of coming to the Father through Jesus Christ for salvation, a lot of people would be surprised, because religion has said it has to be this way. By the time religion gets through with you, you don't know if you want to be a part of the body of Christ, or you won't even have a God as your Father. And it's very simple. Very simple. And also, I want to turn to Hebrews 11 and 6. If we could turn there. In Hebrews 11 and 6, let me get there. Is a scripture that speaks about what it takes to please God. So in Hebrews 11, and it's very important, and 6, it says this. And I'm going to part B of it, so to speak. No, it's 11 and 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Key word, he rewards. Not try to take you out. Not an unforgiving God. He rewards. So we see that faith, we know, is also the word of God. Faith equals the word of God. So in our obedience to God, one of the ways that we can obey is through obeying his word. Obeying his word. So that's why I wanted to read it, because without faith, without obeying him, without obeying his word, it's impossible to please him. And we want to please our Father. Just like, again, our children, those of you that are parents, you know, your children do things to please their parents. They want to do something to make their parents proud or things like that. So in one step, again, to pleasing him, or we can say, or put a smile on his face, is through obedience. And we want to look at some other scriptures here. If you have your Bible, you want to go to Isaiah 1:19 to just give you some scriptures about when you obey God, the benefits, I guess, if you want to say that, in obeying. In Isaiah 1:19, it says this: if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. That's Isaiah 1:19. You will eat the good things of the land. So let's look at this. Not only, remember a while ago when I said you want to obey from the heart and not the head? Okay, in obeying the Lord, it has to come from the heart. Because, again, your head is going to tell you that doesn't make any sense. We're going to get into that a little bit today, too. Because sometimes some of the things that the Father tells us to do, it may not be too popular. In other words, you may not be the number one on the chart, so to speak. But then you have to realize, who do you want to please? You want to please God the Father, or do you want to please man? And so in being willing and obedient, if your heart is willing to obey the Father, you want to have a willing heart. And again, it's a process. And you know what? It could start off with little things. It could very be simply, say you're driving to work or whatever, and say this as you just hear in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you know, take a different way to work today. You know, well, you don't want to spend 20 minutes trying to justify, why should I take a different way? For all you know, there could be some road work being done, or there could have been an accident ahead that you could be avoiding, or anything. So it's just a small, still voice of obeying God. Okay, we have a question here. I'm going to stop right here. How can I get myself out of the way when trying to obey God? I say it like this. This is a very, very good question. Most of the time, when the Father is asking you to do something, you will know whether it's you or not as far as your answer, or if you're letting the Holy Spirit, because you are going to be coming up with many questions of why, shoulda, hesitations. You're going to try to talk your way out of it. When you start trying to talk your way out of it, when you say get yourself out of the way, what you want to do is you want to say, look, flesh, and your mind, I know that I'm hearing this from my Heavenly Father. Therefore, I'm going to move toward that. I'm going to go toward what God is telling me to do. Now, flesh, you're going to have to just line up. In other words, you're going to have to get subject. You got to come under the Spirit of God and what God is telling me to do. And I believe it's in Corinthians, it says that we pulling down strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So what we mean by that, what that scripture clearly says is that when you hear the Father God say something, and then when all these different ideas of yours try to come against that voice of the Lord that you heard, you got to cast that down immediately because it's an imagination. It's a vain imagination, actually, because it's definitely coming up against what the Spirit of the Lord has told you to do. And listen, whoever sent this question in, it is a process. So let's say, for instance, the Lord speaks to you. And he's made it very clear to you what you're to do. But somehow that flesh and that mind thinks that it can think better than God. Again, you have to speak up. You can't just sit there and in your mind fight thoughts with thoughts. You can't do that. You have to say, no, I cast that thought down in the name of Jesus, and everything that would exalt itself against what the Father has told me to do, I will do what God has told me to do. I will be willing and I will be obedient, even if you have to press.
There's something I want to add to person that asked this question, is how do I get myself out of the way when trying to obey God? The other way, when you know that you've heard distinctively from God, another way is just simply prayer and fasting. Because your flesh is going to try to overrule your spirit man. First and foremost, you are a spirit, possess a soul, and you live in a body. Soul meaning your psyche, your emotions, your thought process. And because we are so developed in our soulish realm, we are motivated by things of our flesh, how we feel, how we don't feel, whether someone likes us, whether we like that person or not. You have to understand that the spirit man has nothing to do, so to speak, with the soulish realm. The spirit man should always have dominion over the soulish realm. And if we're having trouble obeying God, it's because our soulish realm is overriding our spirit man. So when you hear something, put some fasting on it. Fast a meal, fast a day. If nothing else, just get your flesh under subjection. And flesh does not necessarily mean your bodily, your arms, your legs, but your flesh way of thinking, your emotion, your psyche, your soul. There is one other thing that I wanted to touch on when my wife made mention of the Father. Oftentimes, and I think she covered this once before in one of the other programs, oftentimes we look at God, our Father, as our the same way that we look at our natural father. And if our natural father was a royal pain, he was abusive, he was mean and ugly, this, that, and the other, that's our perception of our Heavenly Father. But I want to give you a couple of scriptures to change that persona or that perception of the Father. In 1 Peter 1 and 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Basically, when it says hath begotten us, Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son. And that means he was the only one that was born of God. But when here where it says he has begotten us again, that means he has redeemed us. He has caused us to be his sons and daughters. Where before we were children of darkness, we are now children of the light. And so you cannot compare your heavenly father with your natural father. Your heavenly father is so much better because of his loving mercy. There is another passage of scripture I want to go to. It is Ephesians 4 and 6. One moment, let me get there. Ephesians 4 and 6. And basically it's saying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Your Heavenly Father loved you so much that he wanted to be part of your life. Not just an extension of your life, but be part of your life. That he wants to, he sent his Spirit to indwell within you. If you are born again, he sent his Spirit to indwell in you, to lead you and guide you and to direct you in all things. So he's not some God far off on a distant planet or a distant throne that does not care anything about you. He is very present. He is he's not an absentee father. He is one of those fathers that is very active. He's very proactive and very involved with his children. And he doesn't have any grandchildren. He has all children.
I want to go ahead and read that scripture in 2 Corinthians. And this, again, is still to the question that came in about how do I get myself out of the way. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, I'm going to start. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds." Verse 5. "Inasmuch as we refute arguments, theories, and reasoning," remember flesh, reasoning, "and every proud and lofty thing, and sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ." In other words, any lofty thing, any reasoning, anything that is totally against or would try to nullify what God is saying. Those thoughts, we want to pull them captive and get rid of them so we can put ourselves in a position to be able to hear and obey the voice of the Lord. We have another question here from Cheyenne in Dallas. Hope I said that right. So when Paul says, and I don't always do, is prayer a part of obeying God and not being religious? Okay, let me make sure I'm understanding this. You want to know if prayer is something that we do because we love the Father. That's what I hope that you're saying. And not being religious. Okay. Again, sometimes there are people that have made praying religious. But when you have a relationship and a fellowship with the Father, it actually becomes a part of your life. It becomes a part of your I don't want to say the word routine, but it's a part of fellowship. You can look at it as fellowship, praying to the Father as far as fellowshipping with him, just like you do with your family or your friends. It's a way of communication with him. And as you have a closer walk with the Father, listen, let me tell you, you don't have to just pray on Sunday and Wednesday. It can be an everyday walk. And I like to say this, a love affair with the Father, that you're hearing from him daily. In this, what you're saying about Paul, I remember that scripture. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, you know, that I do. And so in other words, what it sounds like Paul is saying here is like, I know what I should do. I'm just paraphrasing out there, Solomon City. I know what I should do, but gee whiz, don't seem like I be doing it all the time, you know. And it's like, again, even with that, he was honest enough to say that. But guess what? The Father already knew. Just like he knows your heart, he already knows. And I tell people, and I just told the church this last week, I said, God already knows if you're going to pray tomorrow or not. So why are you sweating it? Why you beat yourself up because of the, I didn't get to pray and I didn't get to do it. Hey, go on. You got another day coming. You got another time coming. So don't allow condemnation to come in, because remember, it's a, you, praise God. Thank you, Cheyenne. I got your question answered. Glory. But still on that, we don't want to beat ourselves up about things like that. See, and that's, see, religion says if you don't do it, and God is not going to do this for you. He's not going to do that for you. He's not going to do this for you. Listen, let me tell you something. He's your Father. But he wants you to develop. He wants us to accelerate. He wants to take us into higher places with him. But you know, he's not going to force you. But he also knows that day when you're going to say, okay, today is going to be the day I obey the Father. Amen?
And with that, when you decide to obey the Father, that doesn't mean all of hell is going to say, okay, well, they've made this decision. They're going to not, they're going to obey the Father, and, you know, we're not going to aggravate their flesh. But I want to let you in on a secret. The enemy will come, but God has graced you to do everything that you need to do. And that grace is an empowerment. That grace is an enablement to accomplish exactly what he's given you to do. And in that grace, there's a rest. There's a peace. That even though it appears that all hell is broken out against you, there is a peace that comes only from the Father. It's like in the eye of the storm. In the eye of the storm, there's always that very calm, very serene spot where you do not get any of the debris, you don't get any wind, everything is very calm, very peaceful. And that's the type of peace that God will give you. That's the type of peace that your Father will give you.
Okay. Also, another scripture that I want to go to, and this is, again, we're talking about today, obeying the Father. And that's in Proverbs 19 and 21. And this is in the Good News translation. It says, people may plan all kinds of things, but the Lord's will is going to be done. And I say that because, again, sometimes we do make our own plans, and we really don't ask the Father. Hello, it's awful quiet out there, radio man. We make our own plans. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs, in all our ways, we are to acknowledge him and he will direct our path. So what I'm saying is, and don't get stuck right there, okay? What I am saying is, in hearing from God, like we talked about before, now obeying him, you want to make sure that your mind is agreeable to his will so that your plans are established and succeed, according to the word of God. And so in that, in obeying, make sure you say, Lord, I'm going forth with this. Maybe it's a new job, or maybe you're going to buy a home, or something, or even relationships. But, Father, I need to know, do I have your okay on this? Because I want to make sure I'm in the right place at the right time and that my footsteps are ordered by you according to your word and song. So many people make all kinds of plans, but the Lord's will is going to be done. You see, sometimes people, they stuck on one thing, and then the Lord has something else in mind, so the Lord's will is being done in their life, and they're trying to say, well, I don't understand that. What happened there? That could have been possibly the will of God of what he had, because, you know, you have to remember now, he already has a plan for you. The plan has already been mapped out. The plan is already mapped out. And the plan is just as simple as you getting up out of the bed in the morning. Getting in the perfect will of God and His purpose is just as easy as getting out of the bed in the morning. So again, we're still talking about obeying the Father. And there's another scripture here I want to share with you because I really want to give you some word today on this. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, it's really speaking here about if you obey the commands of the Lord. If, in other words, if you do what God says. And, of course, that scripture, it could be a familiar scripture to a lot of people, but it tells you all the things that if you obey God, the blessings are going to come. I'm not just speaking about, let me tell you something, I'm not talking about just monetary, material things, okay? A blessing, as my husband said, is an empowerment. It's a grace, it's an anointing. You know, just to have the peace of God for somebody is a blessing. To have good health is a blessing. But in that scripture, it speaks about, in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, if you hear and obey the commands of the Lord, all these blessings shall come upon thee. And is this everything? Well, you say, well, that's Old Testament. That doesn't apply to me. I'm talking about just the first verse. The first verse is if you obey, if you hear and obey. You all got your Bibles out there? Y'all looking that up? Bring your Bible next time. Praise God. But I want to read that to you because it also tells you after you pass verse 15 in Deuteronomy, it tells you the cursing for disobedience. So let's just read verse 1 in Deuteronomy. If you fully obey, fully. Remember that definition I gave you that I said to the fullest extent, all that you know how to do, obeying the Father? It says here in verse 1, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands, in other words, when I think of carefully, it's like, Father, I'm going forth and I'm being watchful of hearing and moving. It's not like a careful of a fear. Okay, it's more of a reference to the Father. I'm carefully following and follow all His commands that He gives you today. And somebody would say, well, that was back then. Come on, people, work with me. Today is today. The Word never changes. It doesn't have an expiration date. The Word of God is there. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord for God. And it goes on and lists of different things. Of course, yes, promotions and businesses, a lot of the part. But the thing is, obeying Him. Not just obeying the Father to get things, but obeying Him because He is your Father and He really does know what's best for you. Also, after Deuteronomy, I have another, I want to give you an example of obedience. I just kind of show you what obedience can do, and then what disobedience can do. In Genesis 12, yes, it's still the Old Testament, Abraham, God told Abraham to leave his family and to go into a place he's never been. Okay? So now he's going to leave all that he knows, glory to God, all that he's used to, all that he's really familiar with, to follow the Lord God and to do whatever He says. And it's like, here we go. We're packing up and we're leaving. Where are we going? We just go. He's going to tell us as we go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, you know his family's probably saying, what are you doing? Where are you going? You know, you need to know exactly. But he believed he had heard from God. So it tells us that, as we know, as a result, he became the father of many nations. And even in another scripture, it says the Lord says to Abraham, when you started off, it was just one, but now there are many of you, glory to God. And those of us in the body of Christ that are born again, guess what? We are part of that Abraham seed. Glory! What if he hadn't obeyed? Do you see what I'm saying? And sometimes, let me just share this with you. This may seem like a big thing with what Abraham did, but let me just say this. In listening, obeying the small, still voice, it could be something to you that is very simple, right? That the Father says to do. And you might think, well, how is that going to affect? Let me tell you something. I want you all to hear me from my heart. Sometimes it is all about just the obedience. That's it. Can you all understand it? Sometimes it's not all of the hoopla that may come and you know, redneck man coming to your house and all that stuff with what the sweepstakes check, you know, which he shouldn't because he's dead. He's not here no more. But anyway, the point is, it's not that. It's the fact that whatever he tells you to do, the smallest thing, you'd be surprised how that will open the door, even for him to speak more in your life. So I just want to tell you that. That it's not always a big thing. It's the small thing that he may ask you to do. He may tell you to go to your neighbor next door and you know, buy them groceries. Or he may tell you to send somebody a card of just saying hello. Now, to you, that may not seem like anything, but to that person, it could change their life.
You know, my wife made mention of just obeying the little things. You know, when Jesus was changing the water to wine in John, I believe it's the fourth chapter, or third chapter, where he was at the wedding in Cana, and Jesus' mother said, "Listen, they're out of wine." Jesus said, "Well, it's not even my time to do anything." But she turned around immediately to the servants of the house and said, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." And it's like this. They obeyed. And because they obeyed, there was manifestation. You have to understand, the water pots that they used, they were water pots that were used for cleansing. They were, when the guests come to the house, you use that water to wash their feet, wipe them down with all the dust, because you have to understand, they didn't have cars, they either walked everywhere or they rode beasts, burdens. And so it was dusty. And so that's what these water pots were for. They were for washing people off. But Jesus said, take those same water pots that's used for cleansing and fill them with water. The servants didn't know what they were doing. They just obeyed. And so that's how the first miracle came about. That's how Jesus changed the water into wine, because someone obeyed. The same thing in your life. When you obey even the simplest thing, that changes your perception of the Father or Jesus. That also changes your circumstance, because it's just like it's a process of you learning his voice and understanding his voice and obeying his voice. That also opens up the parameters for God to be able to trust you. If he can trust you to do this, then the next assignment he'll give you, and you fulfill that assignment by obeying him, then he can trust you with that. That's why Saul lost the kingdom, because Saul was given the instruction to kill all the Amalekites and to destroy everything, not to bring back any of the sheep, not to do anything. You have to understand the terminology to the victor belongs to the spoil. That's the mindset that they had back in the Old Testament, or in any battle. It's even prevalent today, that Saul supposed to kill all the Amalekites, kill the king, kill everyone and everything, the sheep, cattle, everything, burn it to the ground. Those were the instructions that the Lord gave him, which are the same instructions that God gave Joshua at Jericho. They were supposed to destroy everything. But Achan decided he needed to take some of the jewels, some of the clothing, and mix it with his stuff. So in the next battle, when the children of Israel went against Ai, they were defeated. They lost 36 men. But getting back to Saul, because Saul disobeyed God, this is 1 Samuel 15, 8 through 24, because Saul disobeyed God, the kingdom was removed out of Saul's hands because he didn't obey. And he said, well, I brought the sheep back. The people wanted to bring the sheep back to sacrifice before the Lord. And Samuel's response was, you know, if God's so hard up that he wants sacrifices over you obeying what he has told you to do, God's not that hard up. He simply wants you to obey. And he says, rebellion, you rebelled against what the Lord has told you to do, and that is as great as the sin of witchcraft. And, you know, witchcraft isn't hokey-pokey-pokey-boo-boo-boo. Witchcraft is doing something that is contrary to the will of God, the way God has prescribed it to be done. That's an oversimplified version of, or a definition of what witchcraft really is. So, just like it is a process in learning how to obey God, it is also a process learning how not to disobey Him as well, if that makes sense.
I have a question here. Now I'm going to try to pronounce her name, from Kenya. Ona Kanda? Okay, if I did wrong, forgive me. But your question was, how do you know if the word is from God that you need to obey? And then do you need confirmation? Well, let me say this. I want to go to Joshua 1 and 8. And in that verse, it tells us plainly to meditate on the word day and night. Then shall you make your way prosperous and have good success. The key thing is meditating. And it also says to do all that's according therein. As you meditate on the word of God, that will enhance, and that will let you know that what you are hearing is from God. In Matthew 4 and 4, this is when Jesus was in the wilderness tempted. Let's go to verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Remember this. The Lord is only going to tell you to do something that is in His word, because Him and His word are one. Him and His word are one. So when you hear, as you meditate, let me recap this for you in Kenya. As you meditate on the word of God, and when you hear what you believe the Father is telling you to do, it should always line up to His word. And what you can do is you say, Father, I believe I heard this. Show me in your word where this is. Now, you're going to know that you know at this point. So the Lord may send confirmation to people. But here's the thing. You're going to know first before the people come. Now, this is how it is. And like I said before, if somebody comes to you and they tell you something, and they if you haven't heard it yet, you know, maybe the Father hasn't spoken to you yet, you know, like I told you what to do before, somebody come and tell you something, you say, okay, thank you. You go home and pray. your answer. And the way you do that is, again, meditating in his word, okay? Meditating, and then you'll know, well, that doesn't sound like the Father. You'll be able to distinguish when the enemy's trying to talk to you and when the Father's trying to talk to you, but the only way you're going to be able to do that is by getting in his word and having an intimate, private worship and fellowship with him. That's the only way you're going to be able to distinguish. You know, like I said before, when you're with your family or friends, when they call you, you know their voice. Why? Because you have spent time with them, fellowship with them, so you know them. So when you spend time in fellowship with God the Father, you will know immediately whether he's speaking to you or if that devil has come in as an angel of light to try to deceive you.
That's right.
Glory to God. And you know what else? Even if you're not sure, say, Father, I believe you said this, and I thank you for showing me in the word. Now I'm here ready to go forth. Because one thing, the Father doesn't mind you asking him for clarity. Because, and the noble, Jesus, Lord God, help me, Holy Ghost. Okay, it's James. Yes, I did. Y'all, I'm going to start praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I'm getting ready to say. Glory to God. In James, it says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Father who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, God is not going to hold it back from you. He wants to get it to you in the name of Jesus. So what I'm saying is this, glory to God. He's a Father, our Father God. He doesn't mind us asking, Father, would you give me clarity? I'm telling you again, that religion and tradition says, well, you don't need to ask him again. Well, you know what the Bible said, don't be praying repetitious prayers. You're not praying repetitious prayers. You're trying to get understanding and revelation and knowledge from the Father God to know what to do. And that religious spirit is trying to come up and bring confusion, but the devil is a liar. That's not going to work. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want you to understand the Lord God is not trying to keep anything from you. He has it for you. And yes, there is an appointed time.
Right.
And we need to understand that. And Paul even talked about the mystery. He said, the Lord saved it to me for now to be able to go to the Gentiles and tell them the mystery which was hidden in Christ, which was that the Gentiles can be saved too. Well, hey, come on. God is no respecter of persons. Praise God. I hope that answers your question in Kenya. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Father. I got kind of excited right there. Ooh. Hallelujah. Okay, I have this okay. Now, I'm not going to say your name, okay, for the sake of confidentiality, but this person says, I heard your show last week. I need to leave a relationship that is not of God. The man is married. Yep, you're right on that one. How can I leave? Will you pray for me? Yes, we will pray for you. But you know what? Can I tell you something? And I do know your name, but I'm not going to say it, okay, but you know who you are. Do you know what it means to come to the realization that you know that you're not in the will of God? Do you understand how that there are many people who are in a similar situation like this, but they don't have a clue that they're even wrong? And here you know that you are in a place, because you know what? I want to go ahead and call you a woman of God, because you are. Because the Father is going to help you. And let me tell you, because you have even asked, you want to get out of that. And where do you think that desire came from? It came from the Father. He has touched your heart, woman of God, and he has said, okay, I'm ready for you to make a move. And you know what? Every time you was involved in that relationship, you know the Father knew, right? But guess what? He still loves you the same. Do you hear me? I'm talking to you, this woman of God that sent this in. Yes, we will pray for you, because I want to tell you something else. You know why? Because whenever there is a marriage, for an example, my husband and I are married. We're in a covenant. So whenever there's a third party that interferes, you're breaking in on a covenant that's sacred. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. So I just want to do right now, I just want to pray for you, this woman of God that sent this in. You can leave because you can be strong through God in the power of his life. You can be strong. Don't you think he is there, even now, the Father, to help you out of it? And when you make that decision, I'm going to tell you something. When you make the decision, I'm ready now to walk away from this, who do you think going to help you? Because even though you may have girlfriends that may listen to you, they may hug you and all that, you're going to want the Father God, the Holy Spirit, to comfort and help you. Because what you're going to cast all your cares over on him, on God, because he cares for you a lot. So you know what? When you even writing, opening up your heart to this, you're saying already, I'm ready to come out of this relationship with this person who is married. I'm ready to come out of it. And not only that, you want to be totally set free. Because you don't want anything lingering on when you make that separation. You don't want anything following you. You know, and I don't mean so much a person, but that spirit following you and trying to, did you do the right thing? Yes, I did. And listen, let me tell you something else, because I'm hearing this. It don't matter what his wife is or is not doing. That is his wife. You cannot take that place. And you know what else I'm hearing to tell you? And you should not want him to leave her for you. Because God will have somebody for you. Okay? So I hope you you hear that. Okay. We have a call.
Welcome, caller. This is Linda. Would you identify yourself? We're glad you're called. Do you have a question for the pastor? Hello? Okay. Thank you for calling. Just listen. You obviously just want to listen. And if you want to chat, just come into the chat line. Be blessed.
I think that getting back to even this with this prayer request and the different ones we've seen, see, this is what it is. Sometimes we think that we want to do something. You know what I'm saying? It goes back to that goody-goody two-shoe thing, hey, that religious thing. I'm going to tell you something. When the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you, you know when you got to make a change. And it's the Holy Spirit that woos you. You understand what I'm saying? It's the Father's love that makes a person say, wow, I'm going down the wrong track. I need to get on his plan. I'm because you know what? The Bible says, I believe in a Psalm or even Proverbs, there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is destruction. And a lot of times in the world, people will tell you, it's okay. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. Oh, yes, you do. Especially if you're a born-again believer. Oh, yes, you do. And the Lord God is your Father. Because remember now, we don't do things like the world do them. And they'll tell you a lot of things. It's right, but it's not.
That's right.
And even I want to piggyback off what my husband said and yet give you a testimony for myself. He was reading and talking about the Amalekites, which is in 1 Samuel 15, 7 through 22, which is my example of disobedience. And in verse 22 of that scripture, Solomon says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Oh, we've heard that for years, right? Oh, we could quote it. But I want to tell you what the Lord told me some years ago. He said to me the same thing. He said, Patricia, obedience is better than sacrifice. And this is what he added to it. He said, Patricia, it will come a time when you will not be able to pay the price of a sacrifice because of disobedience. In other words, it would have been better to do what I, the Lord, your Father, said to do, which may have seemed hard at that time or to my flesh, than to ignore what I, the Father, said and have to pay the sacrifice later. You get that? In other words, he was letting me know, you know, well, okay, I'll pass this time, Lord, you know, because this is really too hard for me to do. And I've got to make sure it's you, and I got to. When I knew in my heart that the Lord was speaking, he said, there comes a time that when it's an obedience is better than sacrifice, that sacrifice is going to be such at a high cost, they won't be able to pay it. So if obedience is very, very, very important. And again, I say this, sometimes there are things the Lord asks us to do, and most of the time it may not seem popular or politically correct. It could even be something that even real born-again believers will look at you one-sided. But when you know that you know you've heard from the Holy Spirit, move and move quickly. Because you know what? Delayed obedience is like disobedience. I'm talking about after you know. Now, if you're in the process of asking the Father for surety, that's one thing. But when you know that God has said something to the Father and you still want to tap-toe dance around it, move and move quickly. I heard someone say it like this, hear and obey without delay. But when you delay or when you hesitate, it leaves room for the enemies of your faith to come in, like doubt, unbelief, fear, and questioning, which is not the same as, there's a difference, and we don't have time to go into this now, between a question and questioning, because we're getting very close to our time. So we have some prayer requests here that we want to pray over. And we have people here in the audience with us that's going to pray. I think, praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. So we're at the end of the show. So we have Justin who wants to get prayer, that he is struggling in life. We also have, praise God, we have Joshua who's desiring prayer. And then we have Paul that needs prayer. One of his friends in St. Lucia. Okay, praise God. So we want to go ahead and my husband and I are going to lay hands on these prayer requests and also the woman of God who needs prayer. We got you on here too. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift these prayer requests to you. Father, we thank you so much that you are there waiting to answer. And in your presence is the fullness of joy. And Father, we thank you right now. And we stand in the gap for these prayer requests. We thank you, Lord God, as we lift up the woman of God who is wanting to leave this relationship of this married man. Father, that you will strengthen her in the name of Jesus, and that, Father, you will connect her with people of like precious faith who are serious in the things of God that can help and pray with her and help her in her time where she feels like she's weak, because within her weakness, Father, you are strong. So we thank you for that right now, Father God, in Jesus' name. We lift up Paul. We lift up Justin and Joshua. Father, we thank you right now that they are healed even in their area of struggling in life, some things even financially, but there's some other struggles in there that I'm seeing in the spirit, glory to God. And these struggles have actually been a life-threatening struggle, hallelujah. But I thank you, Father, right now that as we lift these prayer requests up to you, I thank you that the struggles, that you know the struggles, Father, them with the struggle, and that you're going to begin to do that today. And we want to hear a victory report in Jesus' name. We thank you for salvation for them also, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we call it done. Now, we will continue to pray for you even after the show and in days and weeks to come. So please make sure you let us know the report. Amen.
Amen. Well, Soul in the City, this is the end of the show. So thank you for chatting with us, for the caller. Hey, thank you that you just chatted with me and said thank you and pray for you, and we did lift you up in prayer also. Be blessed, Soul in the City, family of God. And remember, this is Soul in the City, where we take your spirit higher and higher. Be connected. Love you. This is the end of the episode. Be blessed.